Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and we're back. Yeah, it's been a couple months since we last did an episode. I've been doing this show by myself for 4.5 years, so at the end of last year, I decided I needed to take a little breather. So we haven't done an episode in a couple of months, which was refreshing, but it was also boring as all heck. It's nowhere near as much fun to not be doing this as it is to be doing it. So we're back. My guest today is John Chu. Hey, John.
Hey, nice to be here.
And we're going to talk about XAML today, and specifically we're going to talk about the XAML designer. So speaking for myself, you know, I learned XAML kind of when it was introduced, back when it wasn't even called WPF. It was called Avalon so many years ago. And like a number of people, we learned XAML by typing it. Mm-hmm. Because there wasn't a designer at the time.
Yeah.
Then there was a designer and a better designer and a better designer. And even though there's been a tremendous amount of work done on the designer, and even though at this point in the latest version of Visual Studio, the designers are really, really good.
Yeah.
Our first, you know, when we create a new XAML project, mm-hmm. my fingers are right? I start typing XAML. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so my New Year's resolution is to get myself out of that habit, is to teach and train myself to not rely on typing XAML. There will be times, of course, when I want to. There will be times, of course, when it might seem easier. But I want my default to be using the designers and using the UI rather than typing XAML. And so my theory, of course, was this is very doable, and you're here to prove me right and to get myself and our loyal viewers to understand how good the designers are and to see lots of examples of things you get to do visually instead of having to type, and then, you know, you can make the decision which one to do. Yeah. Sound good?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Sounds great. So yeah, what I've figured we'd do is we could go around and use Visual Studio and Blend and look at some of the tools and kind of help you with your New Year's resolution mm-hmm. of not using the code editor as much and using some of the designer tools that are available for you. So I want to show you how quick and easy and painless it is to use these different tools that are
quick,
available.
I love quick, easy, and painless.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't have enough of that in my life.
There we go. Yeah. So what I figured we'd do is we would open up a UWP app that I have been working on, and we can look around at it, and let's build some functionality into it.
Okay.
So what I have
and a lot of the work that's in the designers also applies to WPF applications as well, right?
Yes.
So if there's something that is in one but not the other, maybe you can mention it. But just want people to understand that these are the XAML designers, not just the UWP XAML designer as opposed to the WPF XAML designer, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, a lot of these tools are available for WPF and all those different platforms for you to build out beautiful looking apps.
Right, cool.
So what I have here is a sample project that I've been working on, and I have a buddy who, their band, the .NET Collective, is having their debut show.
All right.
And what I think that would be great was we could build an app and have this digital experience for fans of this band mm-hmm. and people who are really excited about this band and the debut show to use it, to be able to get some details about it, be able to have a calendar appointment so that they're reminded about it, and also share in the moment of this upcoming show.
Okay.
What they can do is they can upload photos and such. So I have a little bit of sample code here, and how about we run it and see what we're working with?
Sure.
Cool. And as you can see, we have the startup.
Looks
it's
good.
The .NET Collective's debut show.
All right.
And we have a little bit of information and users of this app. They can RSVP mm-hmm. and everything. And then let's look up over here. So we have a split view control in the corner, also known as a hamburger menu.
Yep.
And what you can do is it allows for navigation for different pages. And what we're working with is there's a couple of different things, like event details, which show a map and you can get directions for and some appointments. And also we have a photo stream. And people who are going to the show can get excited and they can upload their photos from the event and share with it and kind of go back and relive the experience of it. Mm-hmm. So people can get really excited about the show and kind of have this fan following for the band.
Sweet.
Cool. So what I figured is, since we're working with a band's app and we want to build a little bit more hype for them, we want this band to generate a little bit more excitement for the upcoming show and people who are coming to get a little taste of what's coming. So what I think we could do is we can add an extra page for listening to some music to get a sample of what's coming with the show and get like a sample clip.
So, you mean there are people that haven't heard of this band?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we want to spread the music.
All right.
So let's add that to our app.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do first is I'm going to add a new page for this and going to be able to navigate to it.
Right.
So what I have here in my main page is I've already set up a template for the split view, and okay, I can add in another section for this new page. I'll add in a code snippet, as you can see here, that sets a couple of the things for this page, such as an icon for listening to it, okay, and also it states the page. I've already gone through and created a music view new okay item.
That would explain why there's no squiggly on that.
Exactly. And what this is going to do is it's going to instantiate the page when you click on the button, okay, and it's going to create it and navigate to it properly. Mm-hmm. So as you can see, I already have this new page opened, and I've gone through and laid out a little bit of a skeleton and just laid out a grid.
Okay.
So let's test out some of the navigation. So for that, let's change the color of the grid to red.
Okay.
It makes it a little bit easier to see when you navigate to the page, and let's run it. Okay, I'll navigate, and now as you can see, we have a new page for it for Listen.
Mm-hmm.
And clicking on it, we have a red page.
Beautiful.
There we go. So we have navigation working.
So the text that's going to go along with that is, this music is not available for streaming per request of the artist.
Yeah, we'll include all those links. Cool.
Not that I've ever seen that, of course.
Okay, so now that we have that, let's get to adding a little bit of content to this page. First, I'm going to take out the red background. So we're working from fresh. And so I've been talking to my friends at the .NET Collective and kind of getting a feel for what exactly they want to see with this Listen page. Mm-hmm. So I have a sample of what they'd like to see.
Mm, okay.
So here we have some album art, the title of the song, One Step Closer,
okay,
and also a play button to play the sample song.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a simple page that we can build out using all the designer tools in PS and Blend.
Cool.
Let's get to it. So the first thing that we saw was the album art. So let's drag in a couple of controls onto the grid to do that. First, I'll add in the album art using an image control. Drag it into the second section, and it's all there. And let's set.
Is there a difference between dragging it onto the designer there or dragging it into the document outline? Do those do the exact same thing?
So they'll both instantiate the control, and the toolbox has a list of all the different XAML controls that you can use.
Okay.
But dragging it into document outline, does it add some of the parameters like margins or anything that you get when you get a little bit of an extra authoring experience when you drag it onto the artboard, about like in terms of placement and everything?
Okay.
Yeah. So we've placed it there. And I've already gone through and added the album art to my project, but we can set the source for this image control to anything. It can come from an online URL or something like that. It can come from these variety of sources, but I've gone through and already added it. So I'll just select it and add album cover. And there we go. We bring up the image control, and it now has the album art. Next is the title of the song, One Step Closer.
Mm-hmm.
So let's add that to our grid. I'll use a text block. Going into the toolbox, I can find text block, and I'll drag it into the second section. And we have the text block, and let's change it around so it says One Step Closer. And there we go. And we have that available. And lastly, a play button. So we will look for a button in the toolbox.
It already seems to be a bit more productive because you don't have to search in the XAML for where the text property is. It's just sitting in the properties window. Mm-hmm. You were able to select the image from a drop-down instead of having to remember its name and what you have to specify for location. Mm-hmm. It's already easier.
Yeah, so all these tools are there to kind of aid your productivity and make it a little bit faster to author the XAML without having to type it up.
So you could have set the background in the properties window as well.
Yeah, exactly. So when we get to styling it, I can show you a little bit about.
But
like,
you might find it easier to say background equals red. That might be faster than going into the properties window and
using the color picker.
You can type red there, so you know, at that point it gets to be a wash. But you know, there's What I'm hoping that already the people are seeing is some things that might be easier and, you know, kind of weighing it back and forth. Yeah. Because you can do it either way.
Definitely. Like, when it comes to color, like, if it's not red, it's a little bit an off red. And you have the idea of what the color looks like in your mind. You can go through the color picker and pick it without having to, like, try to figure out with, like, playing around with the hex values and such.
Yeah.
Cool. So one last thing, we'll add the play button. So I'll drag the button into the third section. And there we go. Mm-hmm. And let's rename the content to play. Cool. Okay. And there you have it. So we have all the different controls that we were discussing from the mockup that we had. And now it's just about styling it. So for me personally, I have a little bit more of a preference for using Blend for these kind of design, styling related tasks. Mm-hmm. So how about we switch into Blend?
Okay. And for people who have used Blend in the past, notice that it looks a lot.
Oops, I forgot to save.
It looks a lot more like Visual Studio now. There used to be, decreasingly, but there used to be a bit of a jarringness to switch from Visual Studio to Blend.
Yeah.
But you guys have made it look much closer to the same thing.
Definitely.
Is it literally the same shell?
Yeah, now with Visual Studio 2015, Blend has been brought into the VS shell.
Right.
That's why you get a little bit more of a consistent user experience with it.
Yeah, which makes it, again, less jarring, a lot kind of easier to go find what you're looking for instead of staring at it and going, where's everything?
Yeah. Exactly. So let's get to styling this a little bit better to make it look a little bit more like our mockup.
Okay.
Cool. So as you can see, we had our document outline in Visual Studio, and we also have the objects and timeline pane in Blend, and I can select my different controls. We can start with the album art, and let's make it a little bit bigger and center and everything. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reset the layout. And also set it so that the width and height are 256, which is the original image that I had before. And then lastly, how about we center it and in both horizontally and vertically.
Cool.
Next, we can work with the text block. So against the dark background of Blend, it's kind of hard to see. And also the image that we're using for the music page, it's also a little dark. So maybe we can change that around and make it look a little bit easier to see. So let's set it to white. And I can use the color picker here to change the colors around.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, you don't have to mess with hex values anymore.
Right.
You can just pick that color.
Cool.
And it's easy to see. We can reset the layout. And how about we center it both horizontally and vertically?
Mm-hmm.
And also, let's make it a little bit bigger so it's a little easier to see.
Okay.
One last thing, I think, how about we add a little pizzazz to it? Let's make it italicized.
All right.
And there we go.
Cool.
So it's a little bit easier to see, and it's bigger title. And now you know the song that you're going to be demoing is One Step Closer.
Right.
And the last part is the button. So we can select it. And so what I've gone through in this app, I've already gone through and done a little bit of styling with other buttons, and I've defined some resources to give a little bit more of a consistent feel for like buttons. So how about we set it to use that style for the button to give it that kind of same feel. So for that, I have a background, and I've defined a resource for buttons called button brush, and what that does is it makes it yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's style some of the other layout aspects of it. I'll reset the layout again. And the width, I kind of like it.
So reset layout literally just does the things in the layout section only?
Yeah, it resets all those properties.
Right. Okay.
So I kind of like the button to be about the same.
I'm pointing at the screen, but no one can see that.
Yeah. So what I kind of like the width of the button to be would be about the same width as the image. So let's make it flush width between the two.
Okay.
So I'll make it 256. And I will make it a little bit taller. And let me center it.
Okay.
There we go. So this is looking pretty close.
You can also reference the Windows 10 design guidelines to see what they have to say about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Exactly. So
which are available on the web and downloadable as a PDF.
Yeah.
And lots of good stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So trying to adhere to those guidelines or kind of sticking with our mockup as well.
Yeah.
Cool. So now it's looking pretty close to what we had with our mockup.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's looking pretty good. How about we run it and see what we're working with?
So do you find you stay in Blend for the design, setting properties and play, and then switch over to Visual Studio for code? Anything you do in Blend comes over, and then you write code and run the app, switch back over to Blend to do more design?
Yeah, usually that's what I end up doing, especially for more like code-heavy tasks. I'll definitely switch into Visual Studio. But with Blend, you get all the IntelliSense and everything. So for quick edits and quick additions to code, it's really easy to use Blend as well. So we can navigate back to the Listen page. And there we go. Yeah, it looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. We have our title and we have our play button. Everything's looking pretty good. Yep. Though, I'm a little bit nitpicky about this stuff. I kind of see that the album art is just a tad smidge smaller than the button when we wanted them to be the same size. Like, there's like tiny little margins there.
You're right.
So I'm not quite sure why. So how about we use this new tool that's introduced with Visual Studio 2015, UI debugging, to figure out why this happens.
Okay.
So as you can see on the left, when we started running, debugging the app, the live visual tree opens up, and that shows all the different elements that are in the visual tree of our app. So we can use the selection tool to select.
So in Blend, that happens automatically.
Yeah.
Because in Visual Studio, you have to ask for it.
Yeah, so there's an option.
Remember that it's in debug windows, which I finally memorized after searching for it for several times. But in Blend, it pops up automatically.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
You can also go into your options to set it to automatically pop up when you start running the app.
That's a good idea. All right.
Cool. So I've selected the selection tool, and let's select our image. And as you can see, it's now open in our live visual tree. Mm-hmm. And on the right side, we have the live property explorer. And what that is it shows all the properties for that specific element. Yep. And we can look around and see why certain things are computed in a certain way. So I get the feeling that it's like this because of the stretch property. So let's search for stretch. And there you see. So stretch was set by default because I didn't add anything in my XAML to uniform.
Okay.
So how about we play around with this stretch value to see if we can change it around. So what I can do is...
So you're convinced that the picture is too narrow as opposed to the button being too wide?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Let's play around with stretch and see what happens. Right. I can define a new local value for stretch. And I can see the drop down. So before we had uniform.
Yep.
How about we try fill?
Okay.
And opening up our app, and now it looks pretty good. Like it looks aligned. I think that's pretty good.
Yep.
So what we can do is, now that we know the proper value, once I stop running this app, I can change it in the XAML using the property inspector.
Ah, so that's an excellent point here to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about giving people the ability to have changes to the properties that you make while running actually be written to the project instead of just be kind of temporary? I mean, I understand that you're playing around, you could muck things up, but for something like this, now you got to remember, let's say you made three or four of these, now you got to remember which ones you did.
Yeah.
So how did you think about that?
Actually, I'm really happy to announce that in a future update coming soon, XAML edit and continue. So we're looking for having that in a future release of the product. And what you can do is you can make changes doing UI debugging, and they'll persist to your code.
Sweet. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we exit out, and let's select our image again and set the stretch properly to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And now it changes back, and everything's looking pretty good. Now we have like the styling and everything, but how about the meat of the what this page is about? It's about the music.
Probably play some music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we can add a media control for this to play some music.
Okay.
So what we can do is we can go into the assets pane, much like the toolbox in VS, and we can bring up all the controls for XAML and find a media element and drag it into our grid. And this time, I'll drag it into the Objects and Timeline pane.
Okay.
And it'll add it inside of the grid. Oops, I didn't actually drag it. There we go.
Okay.
And we can set some of the properties. How about we rename it something a little bit more useful, like sound clip or something like that.
All right.
Okay. And since a media element control isn't a visual element, we don't really care that much about styling it anymore. All we care about is some of the playback aspects of it. So under the media, we can set things like source and playback. Much like image, we can set the source. So I've already gone through and dragged in the media into dragged in a clip into our project. But again, like it can come from like online and you can choose where the source is. So I'll select that. And how about, and one last thing is that I don't want this to play when we start loading the page. We don't want it to autoplay. We want it to click start when we play the button.
Autoplay is set to true only if you're not in a meeting.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It like make it so it
that's
doesn't play
to
at
get
those worst inopportune times.
Go to something that starts auto playing music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. So we will uncheck this.
Okay.
And have it set to false. Okay. And now we need to actually trigger this media element to actually play the sound. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna add an event handler to our button, and we can select our button. And in our properties pane, we can handle all that event handler without having to do anything with coding it up into XAML. So using the event handlers, we can add a button click. And what that will do is it'll open up the code behind, and we can add in something for playing the sound. So we'll just make it soundclip.play.
Now this is the same editor as in Visual Studio, right?
Mm-hmm. You get the same editor, all the IntelliSense and everything.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, and there we go. We've added it. And how about we try seeing if we get music this
time?
Yeah. And we can navigate to our listen page, and we can try playing. It's playing, and it's doing exactly what we want.
Cool.
Let's exit out. So it's a little hard to hear, like, so when using these kinds of apps, I personally kind of like having the ability to control the sound playing and stopping it as well.
Mm-hmm.
We can add that functionality to this in our event handler. In this case, when the media element is in a paused or stop state, we want it to play when the button is clicked. All other times, we will want it to stop.
Okay.
So let's add that to our event handler.
So start, stop, fast forward, rewind, etc. I assume there are third-party controls you can buy that have that stuff built in if you don't want to roll your own.
We also have an actual control, media element control, a media transport control inside the toolbox that you can use to rewind and play. And
we have all that built in.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So we'll add in soundclip.currentState if it's paused. Or stopped, in this case, we want it to play. Oops. Let me just put this in. And else, we want it to stop when the button's clicked.
Okay.
There we go. So what we can do is when this should toggle the button between playing and stopping. How about we test that out?
All right.
Navigate back to it. We can play. As you can hear, the music is playing. And if we click again, it stops.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't know about you, but with these different states of playing and stopping, I kind of like to have a little bit of extra visual feedback.
Yeah, the button should at least say stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something.
When it's playing, it should say stop, and when it's stopped, it should say play.
Right.
So what we can do is we can further style the button to make it happen like that.
Okay.
We can go back. And how about...
Cool.
Let me reopen this. Yeah, we'll reopen it.
All right.
There we go. We'll navigate back, and we can create a new style for this button. We can select it, and we can extract a style to define these different playing versus stop in the content by using visual states.
Mm-hmm.
How about so we can right-click on it, edit template, and edit a copy. And we'll name the style. And what this does, it will extract a style that can apply to this button, and we can control the look and feel for this button using the style. We can do this using the states pane, which displays all these different states that are available for the button and allows you to add them and style them as well.
Mm-hmm.
We can add, let's add a new visual state group for play states. And this will control like is playing, is stopped. So in the state for is playing, we want to display stop, And when it is stopped, we want it to say play. Mm-hmm. Let's add that first one. Is stopped. And this one, it's already styled. We kind of already have it saying play and everything. And we can add another one for is playing. And in this one, we want it to say stop. So let's edit some of the properties of the button. We can click on it. And in the properties pane, we can reset the content and have it say stop. Mm-hmm. And now it says stop. And let's add a little bit more of a visual feedback to this and make it red so they know stop and red and everything. We can adjust the background and drag it to red.
Okay.
And there we go. So in this state, the stop is red. It says stop and also is red. We can look at these different states by clicking on them in the states pane. And when it is stopped, it'll say play.
So this is already much better than in the code setting properties.
Yeah,
you can change the property of the button, the text to stop, the color to red.
Yeah.
But now you're doing it in code. You're not getting the visual feel of it. You can't. It's much harder to, you know, set the opacity and see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you were just changing the text, you might decide just to do it in code. Why not? But this gives you so much more power, and it seems like way easier. And you're not writing the code to change these properties.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's all done using the properties inspector, and it adds it to your XAML.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So let's exit out of this template editing for the style, and run it. Well, before we run it, we need to make sure it transitions between these two different states.
Yeah. How does it know?
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use, in our event handler for the button, going to use visualstatemanager.goToState on this button to transition between these two. In here, I can add in, let me format it a little bit better, and I can add in a call to the visualstatemanager.goToState, and on the button, and we want it to go to the isPlaying state. And we want it to use transitions.
Okay.
And in the other case, you will want it to go to the isStopped place. isStopped.
Can we
visual
expect
state.
IntelliSense on those state names in the future?
That's something that we're definitely looking into.
Okay.
Cool. So let's try running it now. And in this case, what it'll do is clicking on the button will go into this event handler, and it will toggle between these two states and playing and stopping the music.
Yep. Cool.
Okay. And moment of truth. Let's see if it works. So playing it, we hear the music, and it properly transitions to say stop. And clicking it again, it transitions back and stops.
Perfect.
And there we go.
Yep. That is cool.
So, functionally,
Setting the states like that in build, another classic example of it is when you're doing adaptive UI. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're saying when the screen is between 0 and, you know, a couple hundred pixels wide, because that's, you know, sort of on the phone.
Yeah.
I want, you know, all these. What you're basically doing is changing a whole bunch of properties and moving things around, whether you're using a relative panel or just, you know, mucking around with widths. Mm-hmm. And then between 100 and 1,000, it does something else, and over 1,000, it does something entirely differently.
Yeah.
It's like this much XAML.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go into Blend, you know, click, 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 and you're done. It's really cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is really useful, especially for the adaptive triggers
and
handling all those different states. Mm-hmm. It's really easy with the states pane.
Yep.
So we can go back, and there we go. So we're at a point where this is pretty functionally.
So show the XAML now, just to prove the point that you actually have been writing XAML the entire time.
Yep, and we can see. So up here, there's the style that we extracted.
Yep. Look at all that.
Yeah, it did this all on the fly without having to write that. And then we can see that.
And all the properties have been set. Everything's in there. So, you know, you can certainly go into the XAML if you want and make any changes and add whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't had to write any of this.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Cool. So we're in a pretty good state with our app being pretty functional, mm-hmm. I think that people who use it, they're going to get pretty excited. They're going to hear some of the music and get really hyped for the show.
Yep.
Let's add one more thing to kind of make it pop a little bit more. So what I think we could do is we could add in like a fade to black transition when this page loads so that all eyes are focused on the center of the page so they only see the music and then they can play it.
Okay.
We can do that by using storyboards. What we're going to do first is we can add in, using the Assets pane, a shape. We'll add in a rectangle into our grid, and it adds mm-hmm. it there. And we're going to set it to black. And let's set a couple of the properties. Let's make it stretch both horizontally and vertically, and reset the width and height. And let's make it span all five sections of our grid.
Okay.
So now it covers everything, and it's in the background. But now you can see it's kind of it's in front of everything, so we need to move it back a little. We'll adjust the z-index. And there we go. Now it's behind everything. So if we were to run this from the beginning, we would just have that black in the background, but we want it to actually fade over the course of a couple seconds.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to use storyboards. And what we can do is we can go into the Objects and Timeline pane and add a new storyboard for Fade Storyboard. Oops, not face, fade. And that will open up the timeline,
mm-hmm.
and we can, with our rectangle selected, we can go in, and at the zero time, we can make sure that the opacity is zero, so it starts at not black at all, mm-hmm. and at a future point, we can make it fade in. How about at about 2 seconds,
okay.
we make it fade to an opacity of 80, so over the course of 2 seconds, mm-hmm. it will slowly go towards black. Okay, so now we have the storyboard that we can use. Now it's all about playing the storyboard when our app loads. We can do that by exiting out of our storyboard editor, and we can add the storyboard to this. What I'm suggesting we do is, how about we use behaviors?
Yeah.
Behaviors are this simple and easy way of adding further interactivity to your app without having to code anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do things like playing storyboards, changing properties, without typing anything in your code behind, and it's all through XAML. So we have the behaviors property in our assets pane, and we have a behavior for control storyboard. And how about we add that to the root of our page? And what that will do is it'll properly set up the behavior, and it will set the storyboard to play. And we already can select the storyboard that we want to play, fade storyboard.
Hmm.
Okay. And looking at the behavior that triggers this action, we see that the event of loading the page will cause the storyboard to play. How about we run this and see if the behavior works?
All right. The other thing this is going to do is incent people to try additional things like state management and mm-hmm. storyboarding and behaviors, which, you know, I've kind of known have been in Blend for a long time, or been in XAML and mm-hmm. surfaced in Blend for a long time. But, you know, it's looking always like it's a lot easier to do mm-hmm. than you might think.
Yeah, definitely.
And you don't have to learn the XAML. You mm-hmm. do it visually, and then you can go see what the XAML is.
Yeah.
I'm really going to harp on this point the entire show.
Yeah. I mean, especially with things like the storyboard and states, like those things, we built tools in Blend mm-hmm. for those designer specific related tasks, and that's why we have it and so easy to use.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when we open it, and there we go, now it's fading and
nice.
It fades to black. So now all our focus is drawn to that center of the page.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think we're in a pretty good state. I kind of like where we're at with this app. I'm pretty excited. I think most people who would be using this, they're going to get a lot of hype from listening to the music and getting ready for the show.
Yep.
And we all did this in such short, fast time without having to code up anything.
Right. Cool. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So we'll exit out. So that's mostly all that of a run through of a lot of the tools that are available with the designer tools that are available in VS and Blend.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing how simple and easy it is. And I hope that everyone who uses this is kind of as excited as I am about using these tools to see how fast and easy it is to add functionality to their apps.
This is great, great mm-hmm. stuff. And this is all in 2015,
mm-hmm.
right? It's all in the box. Your team has done. Has done an amazing amount of work on this, mm-hmm. and you know, it really gives us the ability to definitely understand that we don't have to write the XAML,
mm-hmm.
that we can do things using the designers, and You know, clearly sometimes you might think, six, one, half dozen of the other, but for especially the stuff you've just been showing here, I think it's way easier to do and actually can get you started doing it, right?
Yeah.
Like if you had to learn how to write the XAML to do behaviors, you'd probably never get around to it.
I don't know,
that seems hard. It's a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. Here, click, 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 it's done. Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Cool.
Sweet. So where can we go to learn more about this? How can I get that app?
So there we go. So here's a couple of resources.
Okay.
The first one is about getting started, like a useful link if you want to install Visual Studio and get all the tools for this. Mm-hmm. It's dev.windows.com.
Okay.
Next, the app that I was showing off, we've actually uploaded to GitHub for people to take and use. So I encourage everyone who's watching this, who wants to get started and get excited about building their UWP apps, is to go to this link and download and clone the repo and use it to play around. We have a bunch of different challenges up there. Like when I presented this to some of the people on my team, a lot of people started coming up with all these really cool ideas like, oh, let's add a chat messaging system or let's add a wish list or something if this was for like things to get ready for the event. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different tutorials that we have available on this repo for you to kind of get started and quick and easy to build out functionality with this app.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
And the last one is a list of some samples for UWP projects about using the platform. There's some examples about adaptive triggers and everything.
A ton of them in there.
Exactly.
It's surprising how many there are. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, this is awesome.
Cool.
And any questions, they can just email you.
So anyone
who... You put your email address up there, now they're going to email you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So anyone who's using this, who's excited, I want to see like what you do with the project, with the sample project. If you do anything really cool or have any questions, feel free to email me or tweet at me. I am always watching what people tweet at me, so I can see what cool things are being built out there.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for coming on and showing us this.
Definitely.
That's awesome. All right. If you're not using the designers, start using them. See how far you can get we'd be interested to hear from you whether it actually does, incent, cause you to spend less time writing XAML. So, you know, I'm going to say you should use the designers first and then write XAML when you need to. I'm going to go that far. Mm-hmm. Be interested in what people think.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Cool. Hope you enjoyed that. And we will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.